everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a
hey, welcome back to the show, folks. It's 7:06 on a Friday morning here on the Michigan Insider. That was just a passing comment that I made to Ira yesterday in the aftermath of the press conference. I just leaned over to Ira after it was all done. You know, as David Brandon was leaving the podium, I said, man, that guy's kung fu is very strong.
And there's a lyric in the song that says, here comes the big boss.
And so, you know, it was another one of those moments where, you know, certainly decisive action and authoritative presence served Michigan and its sports program extremely well. That was very evident yesterday and certainly throughout this process. We're back here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA and online at WTK.com, live from the Suburban Chevy Cadillac Studios and brought to you by the Conference Center at Eagle Crest Resort. And like we've been promising you all morning, we are now joined by the AD himself, Michigan Athletics Director David Brandon. Dave, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Good morning, guys.
I'm glad that you could join us. I sensed certainly relief on the faces of all parties involved yesterday that this process is finally over.
Yes, it's been a long ordeal and a lot of work, and you know, a lot of effort was put into this thing. I've told people that the process is almost more punishing than the punishment, because the NCAA is very thorough and there's a lot of record keeping and reporting and interviews and hearings, and it's a long process. So we're very happy that it's behind us.
You know, there was a lot of hand-wringing yesterday, and it seemed to be the biggest issue from you know, specific members of the media, that the charge was amended, that you successfully won your argument that, you know, it was not the case at Michigan that that Rich Rodriguez failed to promote an atmosphere of compliance. So without, you know, going into what the NCAA committee, what their thoughts were, just can you explain to us what your argument was, why this didn't rise to that level in your mind?
Well, it's a little bit unclear. You really have to dig into a lot of language, and I'm not even sure once you do, it's totally clear as to exactly what it means, the difference between atmosphere of compliance and the whole issue of failure to monitor. But as we just looked at the optics of it, forget about the legal issues or the regulatory issues or however you want to refer to it, we just looked at the optics of it, and we immediately concluded that a failure to monitor charge, both for the university and for the coach, was appropriate because we had made some mistakes. We had done some things in a fashion that did not represent us well, and we admitted that from day one. So the failure to monitor label was something that we thought was appropriate, and we stepped up to that literally back when we responded to the original allegations. However, to take that one step further and to put out there a notion that our coach failed to provide an atmosphere of compliance, when you hear those words, it denotes something that's more personal, more targeted at the coach, and in our judgment, held him more accountable for things that were happening very deep in the program, at a level, and we just felt like, you know what, we wanted to go to the committee and try to explain to them, if they really focused on the nature of the infractions, where they occurred, how they occurred, where the judgments were made, and what all happened that was completely outside the view of Rich Rodriguez, that we had a shot at getting them to drop that charge. And they did, and we're very pleased about that.
Dave, in your assessment of that whole thing, what was intent or lack thereof an essential sort of element in your analysis?
Absolutely. As we did our internal investigation, the thing you really want to know is, did anybody purposefully break the rules? Did anybody go out there knowingly, purposefully do something wrong? And truthfully, there was one individual who, as part of the interview process, knowingly, purposefully, did not conduct themselves appropriately. They did not tell the truth. And swift, direct action was taken against that kind of behavior. Other than that, did we make mistakes? Yes. Were there times that the right hand didn't know what the left hand was doing? Yes. there are situations where we had breakdowns of communication and chain of command and a lack of clarity around job descriptions and who should be responsible for what. Absolutely. But we could not find any instance where anybody knowingly, willingly broke a rule. And certainly the NCAA came out with the same conclusion.
Dave Brenner, our guest here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA and online at WTK.com. And Dave, how helpful is your CEO background when you come into this situation, you look at all the details, and as you mentioned, the left hand maybe not communicating with the right hand, and with the corporate structure and all the and your background in the business world, how helpful is that so as you can kind of pinpoint all the problems and the communication issues that you had so you can resolve them?
Well, having been a CEO for the last 22 years of my life and running highly, you know, New York Stock Exchange listed public companies with high levels of regulatory controls and reporting responsibilities and fairly complex large organizations, what I learned long ago, I think I learned it from a guy named Bo, it's all about the fundamentals. And the fundamentals of bringing organizational control to any entity is for everybody to know what their job is, to have clear job descriptions, to have organizational charts that bring clarity around reporting lines and communication channels, to have there be a clear understanding of responsibilities, which ultimately leads to a clear understanding of accountabilities. You know, that's kind of what I do for a living. So coming into this situation and understanding some of the weaknesses that we had, for me, it was pretty easy to diagnose them and to put the plans and programs in place to fix them. And I'm pleased to report that we've spent a lot of time in those areas over the last several months, and we're in a lot better shape today.
You know, at the onset, and we're talking to Dave Brandon this morning here on the Michigan Insider, Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. Dave, the onset of your commentary yesterday, you sort of talked about the high-profile story that was done and how unnamed sources were used and quotes were extracted and the whole shebang. Well, I guess my question going forward is, you know, what recourse do you or does Michigan as an athletic department have either with specific media or maybe broadly with the entire media as far as policy is concerned? I mean, what recourse do you have, or is this just the nature of the beast that's something that you have to deal with and respond to in your position?
It's difficult, Sam. We're in a position where, you know, we're out there, and we're going to get covered by the media, and sometimes they'll get it right and sometimes they'll get it wrong. I think in this particular instance, the nature of the charges that were made and the conclusions that anyone would reach from reading that article were so devastatingly negative to our coach and to our football program. The actual notion that the University of Michigan would do anything to abuse student-athletes or put their health and welfare at risk, you know, that's a pretty serious charge. And listen, yesterday I got up in front of a lot of cameras and I admitted to mistakes on behalf of the University of Michigan. We made mistakes. We clearly did some things that we should have done better. We clearly dropped the ball in some cases. But what I also pointed out is the mistakes we made were really unrelated to the charges that were put forth by that article.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess all I want you to know is we apologized yesterday because we made mistakes. I'm kind of waiting for somebody from the media to apologize for mistakes they made. And I'm not sure that's ever going to happen. But that would be a nice thing, wouldn't it?